We're joined in the studio today by Professor Jason Markle of the NMU English Department and graduate student Alex Gubbins, also of the English Department. They're here this afternoon to talk about a new anthology they're putting together called A Time for Revision. The idea is to bring military veterans and writers and artists together to make up this anthology. And they've started a group called UPMVWA, the Military Veterans, Writers, and Artists. First of all, welcome, Jason and Alex. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can you first tell us how the group got started, the UPMVWA?
Well, when I started as a graduate student a year and a half ago, I looked for a veterans group and couldn't find a veterans group other than the soldiers in training, the...
ROTC.
Thank you. So I thought, well, I should put together something because I felt this was important. I wanted soldiers to be able to feel that what they had to say is valued in society. And as a soldier, or as a former soldier who was deployed to Iraq in 2004-2005, I had my own battles transitioning into society. And so This is a way that I wanted to make it easier for veterans to transition in society, and for older veterans who still have a day to day, who think about either war or veterans related issue on a day to day basis. Once you've been deployed, you don't stop thinking about it. It's always part of your life. And so those are my motivations. And then I started the group. And thus far, we have veterans not only from the university, but we've also connected with some veterans in the Marquette area. Like, we have veterans from the wars of Vietnam, Gulf War, and the war in Iraq and war in Afghanistan.
When you were talking about the group, and obviously we're here to talk about the anthology as well, it seems that this anthology isn't just a collection of writings and art that are by veterans. There's actually almost a deeper purpose. You talked about transitioning from wartime or military service, that kind of training. Can you touch on a little bit what you mean by this transition and how deep that goes?
Well, I say, and I absolutely believe that in order for veterans or soldiers or former Marine to transition into society, these veterans need confirmation that their words and their concepts of survival are important in a non-military society. And so, how do you do that? Every veteran, has their own set of vocabulary that's important. They have their own way of thinking, and we think about, as we're transitioning, there's certain words that are important. So we have a word like weapon. We have cover or take cover, magazines, load. These are what we depended on for survival on a day-to-day basis. If you're in a war zone, even if you're not in a war zone,
They've been ingrained,
yeah. Absolutely. A veteran invests their entire identity into these words because it's connected to their concept of living and surviving. And so why is it important that a veteran feels that there is a place for these words in a non-military society in the U.S., in the society that they fight for? They want to know that this way of living is okay, that it's acceptable by people who didn't serve in the military. And so I think that a writing project like this, or a group like this, is one outlet that a veteran can use to then confirm that what they lived is important, and then also be able to find other ways of living.
I think in another sense, too, it could be looked at as,
you know, writing is therapeutic, and it can be looked at as a coping mechanism. You know, it's difficult when you get out of the service, whether you've served in combat or not. You know, because there are certain experiences that you have that the majority of people that you're going to be surrounding yourself have not had. And so finding a way to be able to, you know, discuss these issues is a difficult thing, because you're not always going to be able to find a group of veterans or fellow soldiers that you could sit down, you know, at the bar and talk with on a day-to-day basis. And so oftentimes, you know, that outlet does turn to writing, whether it's through fiction or poetry. You're just writing personal essays about your own experiences. You know, part of the original idea with this group was a chance to get, you know, veterans together and really to start understanding that they can write about things that they're not so comfortable talking about. I know when I got out, you know, I my experiences in the military was during the 90s. Everything I had to deal with was peacekeeping. But some of the places I did peacekeeping work, particularly in Africa, you know, were very difficult and bloody affairs, not on our part, but just really with what we had to see and deal with on a day-to-day basis. And so finding somebody to talk to about this was very, very hard because most people would not understand or even be able to identify with that sort of experience. And so, you know, for me, I found, you know, writing to be the venue with which I can express, you know, my anger and my frustration and my hate, and also my, you know, my love and for duty and love for service, you know, on paper, and hopefully get it out there for people to read and you know, come to a better understanding of these people that do sacrifice a lot to, you know, when they go into the service. Sure, it's voluntary. I get that. But, I mean, you know, you're sacrificing duty. You know, you're sacrificing your desire in order to, you know, fulfill duty. And that's tough. And it takes a while to, you know, transition from that mindset where you can come into a world that, you know, regardless of what we seem to think, is much more relaxed than the military. It takes time, and you need an outlet to be able to express that. And Alex and I both believe that writing is a great outlet for that kind of expression.
It's almost as though what you're saying is that you're trained to a very high degree going into the military in order to be a functioning, useful part of the military. But once you're let out of the military, you're just kind of let go, and there is no, there is no
process. There's no 101 on how to relax in the civilian
world. There's no training
then
to you know, come back into what we consider regular society.
I think they consider trying to make a class for that when you get out of the service. You know, here you're getting out, sign your paperwork, let's talk about what it's like in the real world. But, you know, they don't, and there really isn't. And you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, veterans, they get out of the service and they're thrown out there into a world that, you know, honestly shouldn't be foreign, but because of what they've experienced over the course of a number of years, it has become foreign to them. My son, he's in the Army right now. He just spent the last year in Afghanistan, and he had just came home on leave, and, you know, we spent some time discussing, you know, this feeling, because it's just it's surreal, it's strange to come back and understand that the world that you thought was normal is really now you know, foreign and strange. You know, he'd go into a store and be like, man, I can't believe we have all this crap. You know, why is all this crap in Walmart? You don't need all this crap, right? Mm-hmm. Or how congested and frustrated people get on the roads and, you know, in stores and stuff. And in a sense, it made him very nervous. The way people acted, because there shouldn't be anything out there, he feels there shouldn't be anything out there frustrating him.
Right.
You know,
there's
your life's not in danger.
Of.
You know,
yeah.
And so you know, it being able to talk to him, who's, you know, has a much more fresher experience than I do, was actually, you know, it was a nice and unique moment to be able to hear my son kind of expressing a lot of the same, you know, frustrations and feelings that I had when I got out. You know, he's scared right now. He's got a year left in the service, and he doesn't know if he wants to stay in or get out. And
do you think that that's one reason why some stay in the service, because that's familiar? And
honestly, I really do. You know, I mean, part of it, it could be, you know, pretty much financially based. I mean, you know, the economy's not perfect yet. It's actually a long way from that. And, you know, I think there's a lot of hesitation in some respects to get out because they don't know if they're going to have a job. How are they going to make a living? How are they going to survive? And the military is a venue where they have that job, that solid paycheck coming in. They have the insurance. So I think that's part of the fear. But I think another big part of the fear is, you know, how am I going to apply the skills that I've learned in the service, you know, in a way that is going to be, you know, beneficial to me in the, you know, in the civilian world.
Right.
Myself and my son, we were both in the infantry. The only thing we learned how to do is shoot at people. Really, I mean, to be quite honest, that's your job in the infantry. You know, you get a gun, and your job is to go out and shoot people. And so, you know, my son's very frustrated in terms of, you know, how am I going to use this skill? What do I do next? Mm-hmm. And now I have to go to college. Do I have to go to college? And I don't remember how to do math, and I don't know how to do this. And so, I mean, I think it's very nerve-wracking for him to know that, you know, he has a decision to make. And, you know, part of the reason why he leans, you know, towards staying in is because there's a fear and uncertainty that comes with changing into an environment that's now become foreign.
Yeah, I agree. You know, absolutely. Soldiers are soldiers and other veterans are very, you know, they're hesitant to consider coming back into society. I know that it was a battle for me. I have, you know, I was lucky that I came back and I went right back into studying my undergraduate degree at UW-Madison. I met professors and I met teachers and I met new friends who took it upon themselves to become enablers for me, and they felt a responsibility themselves. I can't tell you how many other people didn't feel a responsibility, but I was lucky to have these people. I was lucky to be in a climate with, you know, with just nice and kind strangers then, and now my friends, and I could call them up, and, you know, even though we might not have spoken for years, we both had this experience that they helped me transition, and they would talk to me about literature. I'm very interested in literature. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's why I'm here.
Nerd.
Yeah. and so, you know, we would talk about poetry, we would talk about books and stories and epics that are, you know, important in the history of writing, but then also, you know, of course, I love the Iliad. Hey, if guys I met in comparative literature love the Iliad, it was a common ground.
And it's the first war story.
And, yeah,
the first war story.
And so this was, I remember coming back into this mythology class, classics class that I took at UW-Madison, where the teacher knew my situation because I went up to him the first day and told him, you know, I just got back from Iraq like 3 months ago. And he invited me to his office. He asked me if I read this book before. He said, oh, you might like it, you know. And we read it. We became friends. When I go back to Madison, you know, I can get in touch with him and have a coffee. And, you know, it's great that I still have these relationships. And if I didn't have these people, I was very much considering going back in the military, which, you know, I had good experiences and is a you know, a very honorable thing to do. But at that point in my life, I felt like I wanted it to go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Not all veterans feel that way, but I wanted to go somewhere else. I was lucky to have people to show me where to go and how to get there.
It almost sounds like you were very active in pursuing that. What could you say to folks out there who don't have the military in their families or in their lives, and they're the folks who, you know, we're often told in PSAs on TV or something like that, when you see a veteran, say thanks. What could they do to maybe cultivate that kind of response from a veteran just like you, to feel a little bit more grounded, a little bit more home?
Well, you know, first of all, you have to ask them their name. And
I think that's a great start.
Yeah,
it's true though, because so many come up, you know, and they shake your hand and thanks for serving, and that's it. It feels like their obligation's over.
Yeah.
And it's not like people should feel obligated to go out and help a veteran, but I mean, you know, veterans are more than just.
I don't know about that.
I think veterans veterans are more than just, you know, the uniform. Mm-hmm. You know, a guy who was in uniform or a gal who was in uniform. They're more than that. And so, you know, if you feel like your only obligation is just to say, you know, thanks, well, I think that's a nice start. But you
yeah,
know,
then you
there's
then
more to that.
Invite him to lunch. You know,
strike up a conversation.
Strike up a conversation.
Can I ask you something that I often feel is how does one approach a veteran's military service? You know, do you ask about where did you serve? Did you ask about, you know, how gung, I could see, you know, kids gung-ho. Did you do, you know, shoot anybody?
Or
give me a primer.
I'll give you an example just from talking with my son after he returned. You know, he was very reticent to see his friends when he came home on leave, because the last thing he wanted people to ask him was what it was like in war. You know, and from my own experience, one of the first questions that people would ask me, especially younger people, you know, Call of Duty and movies and all that stuff, I think there's this kind of glorified understanding of what war is. But, you know, often the first question people ask me is, did you ever shoot anyone? And I don't want to talk about that. Nobody does, you know. I mean, it's a hard thing to do in the first place.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's a personal thing that you know, if they want to share it, they'll volunteer that information. Outside of that, you know, my thing is, don't ask them about the war. Let them volunteer the information.
Okay.
Because that's going to make them feel more comfortable. If you're poking around and you're, you know, trying to get them to talk about it, I think that's, you know, a very quick way to turn them off, because, you know, some of those things, you know, some of those experiences, you know, might be difficult to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these young men and women coming back are suffering from PTSD, and it, you know, to sit there and poke and prod with questions about things that they don't want to talk about is going to make that transition, I think, a lot more difficult. So really, you know, I think the discussion should not focus around their military service, but mm-hmm. rather, you know, talk to them just like another human being, you know, just like you would anyone else, you know.
Say your thanks, and then let's just relate.
Yeah, let's just. How can I? Yeah, how can you relate to me? You know, in this world,
introduce yourself. You know, tell them, hey, I'm from here. Where are you from? You know, if it might not be clear depending on how small the town is or a large city. Talk about something local, something, some common ground, something they can talk about,
or something that at least you're interested in, and you can find out if they are.
Yep.
You go just like we do with everybody else. Yeah.
I mean, you know what? A lot of veterans, they follow sports, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's pretty common.
And vets from up here do all the fun activities that, you know, everyone else does, whether it's hunting or skiing or snowmobiling or whatever. I mean, you know, local interests in sports are, you know, a great way to connect. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, most likely the veteran is a pretty good hunter. to hear another way of life, to hear about it, to have somebody, you know, you're not being forceful, but you're being friendly.
Yeah.
So you're talking about yourself, and, you know, right, exactly. Be, you know, we're all people, right? And so act like a normal person. But you do have to make a little bit more effort. You do have to be a little bit more careful about what you say, because veterans at first will hesitate to want to have friendship with somebody who's a stranger, because they don't want to have to answer those questions, you know, that what was it like in a war zone. And
it's hard relating to people who haven't had the similar experiences too.
Yeah.
And veterans, they don't want to talk about it. You know, that's the last thing they want to talk about, because they just spent, you know, 8 months to a year in a war zone, and they're just relieved. I remember I was relieved when I came back, you know, that I didn't have to think about it. And everyone who is interested in it, I didn't want to be around, you know? So that's why I found people who had no concept of war. It makes me more relaxed.
Okay.
And, yeah. So.
Okay. All that relating to the anthology, A Time for Revision. No, I think everything that you've said is really important to the core idea of this anthology and in helping with the transition back to society.
I guess I'm reiterating myself a little bit, but to confirm that your past experience is valid and important. Mm. You know, this anthology does. We want new voices to come to the table. I'm a new voice, you know, and so I'm also learning about a lot of new voices out there in the recent wars. And also, we are soliciting older voices, you know, or voices who have been around for a bit. As far, you know, right now from Vietnam is as far as back as it goes. You don't necessarily have had to have served in a foreign war. Mm-hmm. You just have had to served in the military. So our content, we're looking for content either about war or veterans issues.
All right. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with graduate student Alex Gubbins and Professor Jason Markle, both of the NMU English Department, about an anthology they're planning entitled A Time for Revision. They're currently accepting submissions from veterans and hope to publish the anthology in the summer of 2014. For more information, including submission guidelines, visit the UP Military Veterans Writers and Artists website at mvwarevision.com. That's mvwarevision.com, or email at upvetwriters@gmail.com.